The question was asked, what is tefillah? What happens when we pray? What's the idea of prayer? Is that pretty accurate?
Yes, and
we'll get to Baruch Atah, we'll get there. That's separate.
Also, just don't forget to mention praying for a sick person.
Okay. So, the Midrash says as following. There's a Gemara, but the Sifra spells it out a little bit better. The Pasuk says, Ule ovdo b'chol levavchem. Hashem took you as His chosen nation, and part of your responsibility is to serve Him with your whole heart. Zo tfila. That's talking about prayer. When it says to serve Hashem with a complete heart, says the Sifra, that's a reference to prayer. Explains Rabbi Yoshua ibn Shu'ib, disciple of the Rashba. There are three forms of service. There is service with one's body, there is service with one's money, one's asset, and there is service with one's soul. The easiest way to serve someone is with money. The harder way to serve someone is with your body. And the most difficult way to serve someone is with the soul. When we daven, we're focusing our soul, we're using our body to speak, but we're focusing our soul. As the Pasuk says, Kol atzmotai tomarna, all my bones say Hashem mi kamocha. So the prayer is an act. It's a physical act, we talk, but it is an expression of the soul. Again, let's begin with the earlier sources. The Torah tells us, V'chitavo milchama be'artzechem. When there is a war in your land, V'areotim b'chatzotzot, you have to blow your trumpets, you have to pray before Hashem. So we have a biblical mitzvah when things go bad to daven. The Torah warns us, if when things go bad, we say, oh, it's just the laws of nature, it's, empires go rise and empires fall, that we had our golden era, and now this is just the way of the world. So then Hashem says, I'll make it worse. We have a responsibility to do tshuva, we have a responsibility to turn to Hashem. And part of turning to Hashem is not only about tshuva, it's also about tefillah. What do we see from this? What's the underlying theme over here? The underlying theme is that when I daven, I recognize that Hashem is running the world. The Torah juxtaposes these two. The Torah says you will either ignore everything that's happened, you'll say it's all nature, or you'll recognize I'm running the show and daven to me. So we see that recognizing that Hashem runs the show involves doing tshuva, involves turning to Him to resolve the situation. The word tefillah at its root comes from the word palel, to clarify. Palel could mean to go to court to gain clarification, or it could mean to just clarify. So what's happening when we stand in prayer? We clarify that we are not the boss. There is a different boss. He's the boss. It's not easy. Hashem created within the human being a desire to master his surroundings. The Torah even says, part of our job here is to master earth, master science. That's our job here. Uldu vidgat hayam uvof hashamayim. God says to man, I want you to rule over the planet. I want you to master the sciences of the planet. But sometimes we get confused, we get carried away, and we think we really are masters of our own destiny. We definitely can impact our destiny. We have a responsibility to impact it to our greatest ability, but we also have a responsibility to recognize that it is not completely within our hands. So when we stand in davening, we are turning to Hashem and asking Him to change things. And we're turning to Him out of a recognition that He runs the show, which we always have to remember. There's this balance. Hashem runs the show, but wants us to do our end of things. Hashem doesn't want a person to just sit back and say, okay, help me, Hashem, help me, Hashem. Hashem wants us to do our end and daven. When Yaakov Avinu is faced with war with his brother Esav, so he prepares himself. The three aspects of service. Remember what we just say. What are the three aspects of service? The body, the money,
soul.
The soul. The body prepares for war. The money he sends out as a gift to Esav. The soul he sets forth in prayer. He says, Hashem, help me, save me. We have to remember that we were given tools. We have to function in this world. We have to try and succeed. What he did, Hashem made succeed. Hashem says, you daven to me, but at the same time, you better do your best. You can't assume that you daven and I'll do everything. No, you do everything. I'll be behind you. I'll be in front of you, but you got to do your best. And so we find the greatest prayer, David HaMelech, is active. He tries. He's running from King Saul. He trains his people to be good warriors. That duality is davening and trying at the same time. So you'll ask, what am I telling God that he didn't know beforehand when I daven? I'm not. I'm telling me something I didn't know beforehand. I'm expressing to Hashem, I recognize you run the show and please change the show for me. If I were running the show, then maybe I'd have a laissez-faire system. Free for all, do what you want, open market. Maybe if I were God, I wouldn't have you pray to me. Maybe. Wouldn't be good for you. God doesn't need our prayers. But Hashem gave us a tremendous tool. It is not only that in our prayer we clarify our relationship to Hashem, and we clarify that Hashem is running the show. At the times of prayer, a person is really recognizing that he is not alone in this world. A person is supposed to conclude his davening, his prayer, rejuvenated. I entered prayer, I felt like, how am I going to stand up to the challenges of life? I don't know how I'm going to succeed. I'm faced with challenges, and if you ask me, I give it a 50-50 chance of success. I don't know if I'll succeed or not. I walk out of davening and I'm reminded, I've clarified to myself, I've clarified in my talking to Hashem, but the byproduct is that now it is much clearer to me too that Hashem is the one running the show. I'm still going to do my utmost to succeed, but I now realize that I'm not standing it alone. When we daven, we are touching on the basics of Jewish faith. The recognition that Hashem runs the world, has control to change things in the world, and is connected with the world. Davening is a reflection of all of those. I remember when I was younger, I'd stand in shul and look at all the people davening fervently and wonder, aren't they embarrassed? And it took me years to realize that there's no reason to be embarrassed. If you believe in what you're doing, so then, and I don't like to use the word believe, but I don't want to use more powerful words, but it is a person who is not connected that stands from the side and looks and says, aren't they embarrassed? When a person realizes that Hashem is a part of his life, so then it's the most natural thing in the world. Are we embarrassed to pick up a phone and call our parents? Are we embarrassed to talk to our roommate and ask him if he could give us a hand with something? We should be embarrassed from everyone but Hashem. Because everyone else is in the same boat as we are. And if today he's helping me, we both know that could be tomorrow I'll be helping him. But with Hashem, it's not that way. I can't do anything on his behalf. I could never pay him back. And yet, when we talk to Hashem, we're not embarrassed at all. We can talk to Hashem in many different ways. We could ask, we can implore, we can even demand. It's not right of us to demand, it's improper to demand, but we feel comfortable doing it. It's like a child talking to his parent. There's this confidence in the relationship, and so a person feels confident to say things that he wouldn't say to anyone else. We even say it in Benji. We say, Hashem, let us have parnasa from you, and not from mankind. We're asking for Yadcham le'aptucha kedoshah v'rachava. We're asking for your open hand that is so wide, so filled with breath. We're asking for you to give us our parnasa. Shelo nevosh v'lo nikalem lo lamed. We should never be embarrassed. From you we're not embarrassed. We have this great relationship with Hashem. It's our responsibility to tap into it. So, to summarize, the way Hashem created the world, Hashem created the world so that we have capacity to talk to Him. Just as we can do hishtadlut in the physical world, just as a person can get a job to make a living, and a person can take medication to get healthy, and a person should not say, well, if I was meant to live, I'll live, and if I'm meant to die, I'll die. I don't have to eat anything because God controls the world, and if I'm not meant to die, I won't die. Just because I'm not eating doesn't mean I'll die. We don't say that. We say, you better go and make yourself a sandwich so you don't die. We do. What?
Because Kuzari says that.
Yeah. All over we say that. We make every attempt to remain alive. And we say that although Hashem controls the world, He gave us a responsibility in the physical world to ensure our own existence, to try our best. By the same token, our recognition of the fact that Hashem runs the show behind the scenes leads us to the mitzvah to daven to Hashem in a time of need. And that davening is a recognition that Hashem runs the world, sees what's going on, has control over what's happening, and has given me this capacity to pray, as the Torah repeatedly shows us. You see it by Avraham Avinu. Hashem tells him, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Amorah. So what does Avraham do? He gets up and says, please don't. What do you mean, please don't? What are you going to tell me I didn't know? So this leads us to the final point of tefillah. Hashem created, the final point we're going to discuss, there are many points. Hashem created the world in a way that He gave us power to bring forces me'akoach el ha'poal, from potential to active. There's potential for things to change. If I do things in the physical world, they will change. If I don't, then more than likely they won't. The same thing is true in the spiritual world. In the realm that Hashem runs the world, will this medication work or not work? Well, the doctors will tell you a statistic. How many people die from the flu every year? So there's a statistic. There are a number of people who do. There's a statistic as to how many each year. And most people recover from the flu. The average person gets the flu, he assumes he's going to recover. Every so often I go to visit Shiva and I ask what the guy died from. I don't ask, but I hear other people ask. And then I hear that he died from the flu. So it's not so uncommon, because I've already visited Shiva a number of years. I've visited people whose relative died from the flu. It's not as uncommon as we think. And yet, we all, when we have a fever, we say, I'll be okay in a day or two. I hope I'll be there at your wedding. We take an Eskimo, we go lie down, we figure we'll be okay. But no, we know that there is an area there that it's within Hashem's hand. Am I going to be one of those that makes it or not? So we turn to Hashem in that realm, and we ask Hashem, please make it differently. Hashem says, the way I run the world is that if you talk to me, then I will make things happen for you. And if you don't talk to me, then I may or I may not. And the idea behind it is not that Hashem needs our prayer, but that goes back to the original point. We become better people as we pray. Our prayer and our talking to Hashem and our saying, Hashem, please make this different. So I'm not saying, Hashem, I'll be a better person in my recognition that you run the world, so now make it better. No. We approach it as though we were talking to a king. We approach it and say, Hashem, could you please make him feel better? Look at his merits. And Hashem wants us to be ingenious, to try and find new ways and new angles to pose our requests. And that's part of prayer. The more I recognize that Hashem is running the world, and the more I recognize that this is part of how Hashem runs the world, that my tefillah has an impact in the world, the more I'll invest in my tefillah. And that's why you find the Avot and Moshe Rabbeinu, they prayed hundreds of times over the same thing. Yes, we sometimes think, I told him already, what am I going to say that God doesn't know? Well, He knew it before you said it too. Moshe Rabbeinu prays over 500 times when he wants to enter the land of Israel. Think of how many times Avram and Sarah prayed to have children, day in, day out. They didn't give up. Avram is told, go slaughter your son. So a person thinks, if God decreed it, it's over. Our sages say that the prophecy could have played itself out in many different ways. Avraham Avinu went up to that mountain and davened. And in that merit, they both came back well. So, afilu cherev chadam unachta tzavaro shel adam. Even if the sharp blade is lying on a person's throat, King David taught us, we continue praying, al yimna atzmo min harachamim, because at any moment Hashem could change it. We try our best, and at the same time we turn to Hashem. In that turning to Hashem, we are fulfilling the mitzvah, lovdo v'chol levavchem, to serve Hashem with our complete hearts. We mentioned that the great impediment to good prayer is our own ego, our desire to feel like we're self-sufficient. I can handle this myself, Dad, it's okay. To that, we have to peel away that ego and recognize I'm limited. I'm limited and I need your help. And our tefillah is a process which should leave us rejuvenated. Because although I need Hashem, but in my tefillah I should recognize that Hashem is there with me. I'm not sure where He's taking me. He asked me where I'm going, I'm not sure. But I know He's with me. Maybe we'll add one point when people would set me up and the shidduch wouldn't work out. So I'd call back after the shidduch and say, thank you very much. And then the people would feel compelled to say they're very sorry that the shidduch didn't work out and they wish me well. And I'd always say the same line. I'd always say, I appreciate what you did. And you did great. You set me up with a girl. Could have been my wife. And had she been my wife, everyone would have said what a genius you were, what a great idea was, and all the kids and grandchildren, everything is merited to your merit, and that's what you meant to do, so that's chus you got. But at the end of the day, we have to remember that we don't have to worry. If it were in my hands, I'd have to worry. If it were in your hands, I'd have to worry. But it's in the best hands in the world, one who cares for me more than I care for myself, more than you care for me, more than anyone could care for me. He's the one running the show. So at the end of the day, we don't have to worry because Baruch Hashem, it's not in our hands. We have to try ours, but it's in His hands. And that's part of what we have to remember in davening. That I'm turning to Him, and He cares for me more than I care for myself. I don't always understand His system. I don't understand how He works things necessarily. But at the end of the day, I'm in the best hands in the world. Okay?
Can I ask a question on this?
On this? Sure.
Okay. When we ask Hashem to do things for us, to help us, Hashem, let's say, to be merciful, you know, sick, stuff like this. Are we affecting Hashem, us, the creation on the perfect being? We affect what He does, so to speak, his actions. Do we have that power?
No, we don't.
Okay.
And if not, then what are we doing?
So, at first glance, the question doesn't have to bother us too much, because if Hashem says, I created a system where in that system you have one option of work, which is called Hishtadlut. You have one route which you should take, which is called Hishtadlut, and that might succeed and it might not succeed. And you have another route which can also succeed, which is talking to me. I'm involved in this world. When a person takes that route, so Hashem says, okay, so it could be that because you've turned to me, then I will do what you asked for. Now you'll ask me, does that mean that Hashem changed? So I'll ask you back. When a person sinned and he doesn't merit to receive something, did Hashem change? When a person did a good deed and now he does merit to receive something, did Hashem change? So however you'll answer that, answer this. On the simple level, so the Sefer Yikarim writes, I didn't want to go this route because we're going beyond the level that I think should be in our perspective. Meaning, from our perspective, Hashem says, talk to me. You're like my child, you talk to me, and although I might know what you need, but if you didn't ask me, why should I bother doing it? Many times it's that way. You know, take a yeshiva, you have a madrich. He knows that one guy is not too happy in his room. So now he's going to go chasing after the guy and tell him, look, I'll put you up in a different room. I hear things aren't going good for you. He'll go crazy that way. He can't do that. He says, if the guy will come to me, I'll see what I can do to make it work. Yeah, I have options. I can make it work. But let him come to me. Let him talk to me. Hashem could do everything, but Hashem says, you need something, talk to me. Why aren't you talking to me? What's at the root of you're not talking to me? Because you don't think you need me. Okay, so manage. What do you want from me? You realize that you need me, so talk to me. Hashem says, I want you to talk to me. It's the Medrash in this week's parsha. Hashem says, Ki kolech harev, I love hearing your voice. So sometimes you're like that princess who doesn't want to talk to the king. So what does he do? He gets a group of bandits to stand around her. And then she says, save me, the king, save me. Now you're talking to me. Okay. So we're on speaking terms again, right? Okay. So that's what Hashem does to us. There's more to that. If we're already going down that route. The Medrash says the Pasuk in Mishlei, Matzref lachesef v'chula zahav v'ish lefi ma'lalo. The silver has its tool and its furnace that purifies it. The gold has its furnace that purifies it. And the human being has his tool that purifies him. Has his tool that purifies him. Ma'lalo. What's ma'lalo? The troubles of life. So the Medrash says, Sarai Menu was barren for 90 years. Rachel Menu was barren, I don't remember the number. Chana was barren, I don't remember the number. The Medrash gives different numbers for different great women in Jewish history who were barren. The Medrash says Hashem gauged each person. How long would it take for them to get to perfection? The person becomes a better person. Which leads us to another understanding which I want you to leave in the back of your mind. Because the prime understanding that I think a person can function with in this world is the understanding we've had until now. Hashem says, talk to me, and that's how I run my world. You talk to me, and I'll see what I can do. But you got to talk to me. There is a deeper understanding, which is not contradictory, but supplementary to what we've said until now. And if you think deeply at everything we said, you'll see that it really goes hand in hand with everything we said until now. And that is what the Sefer HaYikarim writes. The Sefer HaYikarim says, when we discuss Hashem going from the throne of mercy to the throne of Din, or backwards and forwards, going from the throne of judgment to the throne of mercy, or vice versa, what we're discussing is the human being changing. If in my prayer I become a greater person, so then I merit Hashem's mercy. Hashem didn't change, I changed. Now that's a deep thought. And it's a thought that I think is very often misapplied. Because then a person can stand his Shmona Esrei and be focused on himself again. And that's why I didn't want to bring this in. But to bring everything else and bring this as an adjunct, it's something to keep in the back of your mind.
Even though that the goal is to make yourself a better person.
I didn't say that was the goal. You said that was the goal.
Okay, so even though that by becoming a better person, we can receive the merits.
How do we become a better person? It's like the reasoning behind the mitzvahs. Hashem says, don't take too many wives. She'll lead your heart astray. Mm-hmm. Solomon says, I'll be okay. No. Sometimes when you hear the reasoning behind something, you focus on the reason and you don't focus on the action. That's why I didn't want to mention the reason. The focus here is not about me becoming better. You wanted to know how it works. So I shared with you a thought that's brought in the Sefer HaYikarim. But that's not the goal.
Okay.
When I stand in prayer, I stand in prayer as one talking to his king, or his father, or both. And I say, A, B, C, D, I have a whole enumeration of what concerns me. And I talk to him about changing it. Now, that action has a byproduct that I become a better person in doing that. Hashem is more vividly a part of my life. As I become a better person and I recognize Hashem is here and my actions reflect that, I merit more.
So like,
but that's like the mechanism. It shouldn't interest us as much.
So it's like, is it kind of like having making a kli for Hashem? You know, the idea that you make yourself available to receive the bracha. If you didn't make the vessel, then his bracha would go right through. You wouldn't have done it.
Fine.
Okay.
I want to add another point.
Okay.
People sometimes look for segulos in prayer. Say, you need a bracha, go to the Rebbe. You need this, go to this caver. You need that, go to that caver. You want parnaso, so on this day, at this hour, do that. Fine. Have a good time. I'm not telling you not to do it. There is another understanding in these concepts. Meaning the concepts appear in the Talmud. But let's see, what does the Talmud tell us? Talmud tells us Moshe Rabbeinu's burial place couldn't be revealed because if we'd pray there, then the Mashiach would come. It seems like it's a very potent thing to pray by a big person's burial place. Talmud tells us Kalev, when he was searching out the land of Israel, so he went to Davin by the forefather's grave. He said, save me, I shouldn't sin. So you see, it's an important concept. He davened by a place of great people. We're not davening to the dead, but then what does it help that I'm davening there? So is it the merit of the place? Is it the merit of the person buried there? So the Talmud says in Tanis that on a fast day, after prayers, they'd go out to the cemetery. And this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tisha B'Av. Some have the custom that after prayer, they go out to a cemetery on Tisha B'Av. The Talmud says, why do we do that? One of two reasons, two opinions in the Talmud. One is that the deceased should ask on our behalf too. If we go there and daven, so I guess it arouses their spirits in some way to daven. So that goes with the EGBG understanding of that you stand by a burial plot and then that person will pray on your behalf. And that seems to have a lot of backing in different midrashim. The Jewish people were being exiled. They walked by Rachel Imenu's grave and that was the merit that saved us. I mean, it's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu and Jeremiah. Kol berama nishma, a voice was heard up in heaven. But there's another understanding in the Talmud. And that is that when we stand by the dead, we realize that there but for the grace of God goes I. It arouses our prayer. So for those of you who prefer a more cerebral approach, there's Maimonides' approach, which basically says, all these things are supposed to arouse us. There was a big rabbi in the south who was known as a big tzaddik and a mekubal. And a couple came to him, a couple who were married for many years and couldn't have children. So he asked them, have you guys spoken to God about this? So they said, of course, we've been davening for a long time. So he said, no. Let's together work on davening to Hashem. He told the man, you stand in that corner. He told the woman, you stand in that corner. And he went to the third corner. He put on his talis. And he started saying verses of Tehillim, weeping bitterly as he said it. The couple never before in their lives prayed the way they prayed together with him. And a year later, they were holding a baby. So some people would say, oh, wow, look at that, he's a miracle worker. He didn't say that. He said, let me show you how you daven. So sometimes we think, let's do all these things, and that's what's going to get us the solution. Maybe what we have to do is we have to learn how to daven. We have to put our heart into it. Why is it that we don't weep when we daven? Is it that we don't care about the subject matter? Or is that we're not as connected to the idea that Hashem is really the one running the show?
For me, it's very hard sometimes to do it. Sometimes it's much better to pray alone because you can cry whenever you want.
Right, right. But I've said I
pray in Sibur, which is not very practical to cry.
I don't know. I try to have times when I daven in places that no one knows me. I try to go sometimes to Minyanim where I could put the towels over my head and no one has to know who I am or what I'm doing. It's getting harder and harder, but okay. I can still go to Hasidish places that don't have internet and I don't have to worry about anyone knowing me. okay. But I agree. Sometimes it's not good to daven where other people know you.
Taking this idea that to elevate oneself in order to be able to receive the bracha of Hashem.
You're focusing on the mechanism. Okay.
I want to focus on the mechanism because I want to see how you apply this to praying for someone else. You're not elevating that other person. How are they going to receive the bracha from Hashem?
You twisted my hand. Okay. So that brings us to another point, which on the surface seems like the simplistic understanding of prayer. And the truth is that this is the more Kabbalistic understanding of prayer. And that is that Hashem says, you can affect me. Talk to me. We know that Hashem instilled this force in the world. The force that prayer can have an impact. There's a concept of giving a blessing. There's a concept of giving a curse. There's also the concept of prayer. And what I'm doing when I'm praying is I'm affecting the world. I'm affecting the way Hashem runs the world. I'm affecting the world. I'm doing it. Hashem gave me that capacity to do it. And every prayer has its impact. When I was once discussing this with Rav Pesin Zatzal, he told me the following story. He said that his father-in-law was lying in bed ill. His father-in-law was Rosh Yeshiva of Nir. And the yeshiva came and surrounded the bed and started davening 24 hours a day. They had people there standing there davening. And next to his father's bed, they brought in a man, not a Jewish person, nothing to do with him, just, you know, it's a city hospital. The guy who gets the next bed is diagnosed with maybe 15 different types of cancer and is told that he has a few hours left to live. And the family is there weeping, and the man is lying there in bed, and the students are standing next to their Rebbe davening. 2 days after that man was admitted, the man left the hospital completely clean. Rav Pesin's father-in-law stayed in bed. I think he passed away at the end of that illness. You'll ask me, how does that work? I can't tell you. You'll say, is it a coincidence? Maybe. There are many coincidences in the world. There are a lot of things. I'm not looking to sell you a load of goods. I don't have an answer as to how it works. Does it support anything? Rav Pesin felt that that was a reflection of the idea that prayer brings blessing to the world. And if I pray, even though I'm praying for him, and even though right now I don't see the blessing coming to him, but the mere fact that so many people are standing prayer brings blessing to the world. The world becomes a better place. A prayer doesn't go unanswered. Hashem says he has a node. David HaMelech speaks about Hashem's node, Hashem's flask that's filled with tefillot, that's filled with people's tears. Meaning every prayer has its impact. I don't see the impact. Right, I don't see the impact. Just like I don't see anything else that happens in the world. There's very little I do see. But we are taught that there is this concept. Now, there's a very interesting piece of research that was done a few years ago. This goes back, I guess, maybe 20 years ago already. They wanted to do research if prayer works. You know this?
I might have, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
So they took different religions. They didn't take only Jews. And they had people pray for other people who they didn't even know. And the statistics bore this out. That people who were prayed for lived longer, even though they didn't know.
Which religions?
Well, I think they tried all religions. I don't remember. I was very young back then. I don't remember the article clearly. But it was an interesting piece of science. Interesting. I don't know what else to say. Okay. But yes, that is, again, that's why our approach is, Hashem says, talk to me. I'm here for you. And everything else is the icing on the cake all around it. How it works, why it works, what it does to me, what it does to the world. Fine, those are intricacies. But the basic approach is very important. I have to do my best, and Hashem wants me to talk to him and ask him to help me succeed.
If you can, the Bereshit Brachot.